Well, once again, a grateful believer in Jesus, I'm finding victory over my addiction to alcohol. My name is Jack.
Hey, Jack.
And good evening again. Continuing on in our teaching series this evening, if you're new with us, every week we'll either have a teaching, which we have this week, or a testimony, which we had last week, where you get to hear somebody's story of how God has changed their life, God has transformed them. As a result of first just turning our lives over to Him, making Him our Lord and Savior, and then working this program. And then the teachings are just part of our core curriculum here at Celebrate Recovery. We go from the beginning of our series, which starts with the lesson on denial, and we go all the way through. I think our last lesson is the 7 reasons we get stuck, and there's about 24 or so lessons in between there. You can come in at any time, because I think there's always something in each lesson for everybody, regardless of where they are on their journey. So don't feel like, oh, well, we're kind of towards this, theoretically the back end of the teaching series, the back end of those lessons. I must have missed out. No, you haven't. When you go into a step study, you will work each lesson in order. So you'll have time to fully unpack and absorb and really dig in deep. We just kind of touch on some of the main points here on Thursday night. So tonight's lesson is our crossroads lesson. I love this lesson. We're starting into step 10. Step 10, 11, and 12 are oftentimes called maintenance steps in recovery, and I'll speak to that in just a little bit. But let's kind of review where we've been in the teaching series. We started with denial, and having to get out of denial to start moving forward in a walk with Jesus and a recovery walk. And we go through a series of steps as we kind of work on ourselves internally. We turn ourselves over to God, or return ourselves over to God if we have been a believer for many years. In fact, I've got lifetime believers in CR that say this is the first time they actually have had a relationship with Christ since working this program. And that's a very common comment. And so this is I've said before, is a spiritual formation program. It's not a recovery program. Yes, I came in here to stop drinking, but what I got out of this is to being a better man. And that's what this is designed to be, being a more godly man or a more godly woman. And there's kind of 4 phases that we break this ministry into. The ministry, CR doesn't talk about this, but I just kind of found this in looking at a spiritual formation program. And those 4 phases are, we first need to come clean or clean up. And that doesn't mean we need to get ourselves presentable to God, just as we sang. He loves us beyond our comprehension when we, you know, turn our lives over to Him. But we clean up. We start getting real with the world. We start getting real with ourselves and real with others. Then we wake up, and that's a large part of our inventory process. And anybody that's done a step study and done a full fearless and searching moral inventory knows that that is a wake-up call. It is really time, you know, as they say, to get real with your life, your shortcomings, the pain, the abuse that you've inflicted or suffered yourself. All of that comes out as we wake up in our recovery. Then we move into, which we were just kind of ending, the grow-up phase. And that's where we start taking and doing, okay, we've got the inventory out there. We've shared it with God. We've shared it with our sponsor. We've been honest with ourselves. Now what? It's not okay for us just to say, well, I did a bunch of crappy stuff and to a bunch of people, the end. No, we grow up and we start taking care of ourselves, and we start taking care and repairing what we can in our lives. And finally, we get to the show up stage, where we start giving back. And steps 10, 11, and 12 kind of focus in a little bit on that part of it. And so that's kind of, you know, where we've been. We've been through the cleanup and the wake up and the grow up in these lessons. Now we're starting into kind of the show up piece. So we always have principles and steps. I mentioned that we're in step 10, which reads, we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. The scripture that goes with that is 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And we're going to talk about that concept today, because this is, when I say maintenance steps or maintenance, it may be different than what you might think. Principle 7, we reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. And then the Beatitude, I think, is in that. I don't even know if we have one. I think that's the one without one. We run it into the last one there. So we focus mostly on step 10 in this teaching. And where we start tonight with a daily inventory, we're going to actually, that's important enough in our maintenance of our recovery and our sanity that we're going to spend an entire lesson on that in 2 weeks. Jeff is going to teach the daily inventory lesson, which is more than just daily, as you'll find out if you come back and sit through us with that. So we're just going to kind of scratch the surface on that today. Maintenance. Maintenance, a lot of times people get to this stage in their recovery and think, well, now I'm good to come to CR once a month, or maybe once every 6 months. I'll turn it into a quarterly recovery program. I'll check in with my sponsor maybe, when I feel like it, you know, or something like that. The 8 principles, the 12 steps, I can't even remember what those are. You know, we did all that work in the step study, and we've been to CR every Thursday night for 100 million years, and so I'm good. I've got it. And so I'm just going to kind of phone it in or coast. And you can't do that. That's not the type of maintenance that I'm talking about. The type of maintenance I'm talking about is the type that is ongoing and consistent. And so if we look at step 10 and we take a look at that, we take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. I want to give you a visual aid for you visual learners out there. You may be one of these weirdos that likes to paddleboard. I find that odd that you'd want to stand up on a floating thing and paddle around. I think it's fun to sit. Personally, the kayak, the canoe, houseboat, you know, whatever, anything like that. But for those of you who like paddleboarding, let me give you this example. Let's say the Tualatin River is the world. Let's say the Tualatin River is your tendency to do the wrong thing, your addiction, your compulsive behavior. Let's say the Tualatin River is the reason you came into to CR to begin with. And your paddleboard is CR. Your paddleboard is recovery. And so you get up on the paddleboard, and sometimes it's a little shaky, especially if it's your first time, and it's a little wobbly, and sometimes you fall off, you fall back in to the river, you fall back into some of those old habits, but you eventually get back on the board, you continue to try, you keep coming back, as we say a lot of times, and now you're on the board. You're good, okay? But if you just stand on the board, even the Tualatin River, which is by no means a rager, is going to take you to the ocean eventually if you don't do some maintenance. And so as you paddle, you're going to continue to take an inventory. And when you are wrong, promptly admit it. And you'll notice if you've been on a paddleboard or a canoe, if you just spend your time taking inventory and taking inventory and taking inventory and taking and taking and taking inventory, you will go around in a circle. And you eventually let the river carry you around, because it's going around in circles on the way down to the ocean. And the same is true if you're constantly just making amends, making amends, making amends, promptly, right away, before they even happen. Once again, around in a circle. And so you need to be balanced in your recovery steps. All right? And so that's the kind of maintenance that I'm talking about, is not every now and then I check in, but constant maintenance. I'm a golfer. Grew up on a golf course. My mom still lives on a golf course. Maintenance on a golf course does not happen once a year. It's every morning you hear the mowers out there. Okay, they're maintaining that that's what your recovery needs to be every single day. So don't get sucked in when you hear that term maintenance step. So let's look at our acrostic tonight. As I mentioned, crossroads is our lesson, and we are at a crossroads, because we have many folks that get to this stage in their recovery and think, I've got it, I'm good. And then some bad things happen. And so you need to be conscious with your choices as you move towards your recovery. Since we're in step 10, the acrostic tonight is the word 10, not the word crossroads. So it's a little shorter. So how about that? And so you should have a handout if you're within reach, and maybe a pen if Jeff came around, which I think I saw him do that. And so you've got some fill-ins. If you're new with us, most of our lessons are kind of tied to an acrostic where we're going to put some meaning to those letters and blanks that are in that handout. And so let's take a look at the first one, which is the T in the word 10. And the fill-in is take. Take time to do a personal inventory. As we call it, the what is take time to do the personal inventory. As I mentioned, Jeff in 2 weeks is going to go through a full lesson on and help with this, but I want to take you through just a quick exercise if I could, okay? So if you could put your pens and pencils down, maybe put that handout down on the seat beside you, and do me the indulgence, if you would, of just sitting, both feet flat on the ground. And here's the doozy. Close your eyes, please. Go ahead and close your eyes. And I just want to take you through a little bit of an exercise. First thing I want you to do is I want you to take a deep breath, inhale. And I want you to let that out slowly. So you're paying attention to the air moving out of your nose or mouth. And do that one more time, a deep breath in and exhale slowly. And while you're there, I want you to, as best as you can, clear your mind. Be present, hear my voice and my voice only. I want you to think of your day today. I'd like you to try and recall the first interaction you had today, whether that be a text, whether that be responding to something on social media, whether that be just looking at something on social media and say, making a comment. That might be a conversation with your spouse or significant other, maybe your child. But think about that first interaction you had today. Hopefully that's in your mind now. Ask yourself some questions about that interaction. Play that interaction over in your head. What did you do well in that interaction? What might you have done better in that interaction? Did you need to even engage in that interaction? Was God a part of that interaction? I'll have you take one more inhale, deep breath in, and exhale, and you can leave that interaction in your head or where it was or this morning, and come back with me here now. Open your eyes. Now, some of you found it very difficult to maybe do that. The moment your eyes are closed, you're wondering, are people looking at me? What's he going to do? Others, our brains are just going a zillion miles an hour. Some of you maybe were able to calm down and kind of visualize that. What you just did is basically a small version of taking a personal inventory. You just did it with one thing, one interaction, one thing that I brought to mind. But that's how simple it can be and how much time it can take just to get yourself focused. But it does require intentionality. It does require a little bit of focus, maybe to get away from, you know, whatever you're doing. Usually taking personal inventory is not a multitasking exercise. In other words, it's not in addition to something. It's reserved solely for that. But I just wanted to kind of maybe give you an example of how if we just kind of slow down and think, we can, things come to our mind. And maybe that interaction, maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. Maybe you didn't even need to say anything at all. Maybe you were quick. Maybe you should have said something and you didn't say something. But you know what? Any of those things, that's what all the taking a personal inventory is. So that's the T in our acrostic tonight. Lamentations 3:40 is awesome as it speaks to this. It says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. That's why I asked you the question, was God in that interaction at all? Maybe afterwards, during, before, not at all. Many times it's not at all because we're just going a zillion miles. Maybe it's an interaction we do every morning with our kids, or every morning with social media, or every morning with our spouse, whatever. And so I understand that, but let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. It's always about God. The E is evaluate. Evaluate the good and the bad parts of your day. So we've got the what, we continue to take personal inventory, kind of dissecting step 10, and the why, and when we were wrong. 1 John 1:8-10 reads, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And what this scripture, at least as it pertains to this lesson, is getting to is you'll notice it doesn't say, if we were wrong, it says when. Now, I'm a guy that likes to fight the when thing. I'll make the decision, you know. But what it is I'm wrong all the time. I work, as some of you know, in the financial world, helping public employees save for their retirement. And inevitably, that involves some forms. And one of those forms is a beneficiary designation form. And probably 8.7 out of 10 people, when they're talking about or asking a question about the beneficiary they formed, they will say something like this. So if I die, does my wife get this or does the state get this money? And before we move on to answer that question, I say it's not if you die, it is when you die. Okay, and it's when we make a mistake. It's when we are wrong. It will happen. If we walk around with an attitude of we're not going to be wrong, then you're not in recovery. You're probably in relapse. Even and that wrong or right and wrong can be there can be technically where you're correct, but it's not right. There's a phrase in the leader guide talks about, would you rather be right or well? And so you have to ask yourself that question. And sometimes you may be technically right, but you're not well if you don't admit the wrong in how you said it, how you handled it, how you reacted. I was talking about this with a friend of mine. I need to make amends to my oldest daughter for a blow-up we had over Super Bowl Sunday. I still have not promptly made that amends. That's how pathetic I am. And I was, one of the reasons I haven't is because I was still couching it in, I'm right in my role as the father and my expectations about my house. I am correct in that. How I carried out the interaction was totally wrong, totally inappropriate. And I need to make an amends for that. But I need to make the amends without getting into the, but I'm it's my house. And but that's it needs to be completely free of all of that. That's for a separate discussion, perhaps. Okay, and that's one of the reasons I haven't made the amends, because I'm not doing it in my mind right. So we evaluate all our relationships. I'm sorry, we evaluate the good and the bad parts today. Notice it says good and bad. Okay, that's why I asked in that question, that exercise, that first interaction, what did you do well? Because you need to acknowledge that. You need to know. It needs to be balanced, okay? You could use the paddleboard analogy as well. It needs to be good stuff, bad stuff, good stuff, bad stuff. We talk about this all the time in our inventory. If it's all bad, you're just going around in circles down the drain, down the Tualatin. If it's all good, you're probably in denial still, and you're still doing the same thing. So it's got to be a mix of that. So evaluate the good and the bad parts of your day and realize that we all have sinned. We all will probably continue to sin. We all will fall short, but God has paid that price. That just takes us back to the magnitude of that grace when we realize I can't not sin. And yet God knows that and he loves me fully. And he's not giving me a pass. He doesn't even see the sin, honestly, but he's that thought in my head makes me want to be a better man. Makes me want, and that change happens gradually for me, definitely, but it has happened. All right, the N in our acrostic tonight, the N stands for need. Need to admit our wrongs promptly. I kind of touched on, you know, the needing to admit our wrongs earlier, but promptly is the key word there. Look how important this is to God. It says in Matthew 5, 23, 24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, or you have something against them, would probably be as appropriate as well, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and alter your gift. You know, that's how important it is to be in right relationship with Him, is that it's He doesn't want that getting in the way, that wrong that has not been promptly rectified. One of the reasons the fearless and searching moral inventory is such a big deal in recovery is not because it's super healing and super freeing, but it's a lot of times because you're going back decades sometimes and pulling up stuff that you'd kind of buried, and that can be painful. It can be just difficult, just where the brain cells have gone in my head to go back more than 4 minutes or whatever in my life. But it's difficult a lot of times because we didn't make amends for something 20 years ago, and now we're having to go back and think about those things. The great thing, if you exercise this principle and this step completely, you do not. You should not really have much on your inventory as you go, other than maybe stuff that you forgot, stuff that's come to light. But the idea is, as you're continuing to make amends and do an inventory on a frequent basis, the next time you do a fearless and searching moral inventory, you're digging deeper. You're really getting into some of the stuff that may be really holding you back. And that's why a lot of times feel that second step study that people do is a little more powerful for them, because they've got one under their belt. They've got the general inventory out. Now God is putting on their hearts, okay, now you're ready to really attack some of this stuff. Your mind's in the right place. You've got a support group that's in the right place in your life. I've got some success that you can draw upon. And so then he says, okay, now how about this? And it's been a time, I'm in my fourth step study right now, and things are being revealed to me just in who I am and who I've been and who I just call my core Jack, that I'm questioning, because God is now saying, okay, now it's time to get to that level in your life, and you're ready for it, okay? So we need to admit our wrongs promptly. Try to put as little time between the infraction and the amends as possible. The more you do that, the more natural it will become. You'll start almost immediately making amends. And believe it or not, you can almost do a preemptive strike, because you're in the habit of being present in a situation often enough. You're even before the words get out of your mouth, even if you're like me, that's a speak first, you know, ask questions later kind of guy. You will find that the Lord says stop, you know, internally. Works best with me for email. The number of emails I haven't sent since I've been in recovery have probably done wonders for my life. And so if I can just get my tongue to kind of obey some of that. All right. So those are the three things that we want to look at. Take time to do a personal inventory, evaluate the good and the bad of the day, and then the need to admit the wrongs promptly. That's going to give you a great foundation to build on what Jeff is going to go into in a couple of weeks, where we take just a full teaching, as I say, and really kind of break down how do we do, it's a kind of a how-to workshop on how to do an inventory. Because if you think, oh yeah, I get it, I'll just make a list or whatever, that might be a good start, but there's some things that he'll coach you through on that. All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the price that he paid, because we are all sinners. We do have sin. We can't say that we have no sin. We do not want to make you a liar. And it's not about making us feel bad. It's about glorifying you, because you have taken care of the ultimate penalty for our sinful ways, our sin nature. It's about glorifying you as you redeem the sins in our life as we hear that in testimonies and we share that in small group and we see our lives change, we see our relationships change. You redeem that. We glorify you as we openly attack the enemy. When we make an amends, when we admit we were wrong, we add humility, we add repentance, we add confession into our life. All of these things make you smile. All of these things please you. We know that, Lord. All of these things also, as we look at our sin in our lives, take us back to you. And that's where we need to be, with you always. Lord, thank you for being with us always. Amen.